to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. One of the first things I'm going to do, I'm going to shed this jacket, okay? And would you stand in honor of God's holy word as we read this together? Luke chapter 7, starting with verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house of the centurion when the centurion sent friends to him, saying, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. Amen. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I tell this one, go, and he goes. And I tell another one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd, followed him and said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the centurion's servant healed. Let's pray together. Amen. Precious Father, we just come before you in the sweet name of Jesus.
Amen.
And Lord God, I pray, Lord God, if there's one here that doesn't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that today will be the day of their salvation. And Lord, if there's a Christian here that's cold and indifferent, Lord, I pray that as David cried out, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." And Lord God, if there's any other decisions, Father, that need to be made, Lord God, I pray that they'll be made for you. Not for me, not for the church, but for you and you alone, Lord. You know each and every heart here. You know every problem. You know every need, Father. You know why we're here, and we should be here to worship you and you alone.
Yes.
Now, Father, I pray that when we leave this place, that we can truly say, "It was good to be in the house of the Lord."
Amen.
Now, Father, I pray that you'll speak through me, your servant, the words, Father, that your church needs to hear. And Lord, may they be words from on high, and may they be words that cut and prick and show us, Father, where we need to be with you right now. Now, Lord, I give you all the glory and all the honor, and this I ask in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
"Amen."
You may be seated.
Amen.
That's the thing of getting old. Matter of fact, it reminds me that I've got a birthday coming up on the 15th. And I stand before you as a miracle. Seriously.
Amen.
Because I'll be celebrating my 12th year of a heart transplant.
And
I never believed that I would even make it to 50. And I'll be 67 years old. And I know a lot of it was because of your prayers.
Amen.
And your support. You know, this church has got a special place. If I can go on the side here a little bit. A special place in my heart and Diane's heart. You'll notice I'm without Diane today. Pray for her. She's really not been feeling good. Amen. For about a week, she's been talking like this. So she may or may not be here tonight, but I left her at home in bed. So if she doesn't get any better, I'm going to take her to urgent care Monday. I already told her if I had to throw handcuffs on her, I'll do it.
Amen.
So we'll see how that goes. Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever amazed Jesus? Have you ever amazed Jesus? I'm seeing a lot of heads go. Well, you know what? This morning we're going to see how you can amaze Jesus. Sharon, have you ever amazed Jesus? You don't think so? I bet you did. Not even know it. I know Billy has. He won't admit it, though. You know, my ministry, I've been in God's Word for over 40-something years. And there's been times I've amazed myself. Now, I lasted this long. Now, my wife and I just celebrated our 43rd anniversary.
Amen.
And she hasn't killed me yet. That's a miracle right there. And I know Jesus had to say, boy, am I amazed. As we look at the scripture this morning, Luke shows us how this centurion amazed and marveled Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm going to look at four things this morning. I know we don't have a screen or something, so you might want to jot these down. Number one, he possessed a great love for God and others.
Amen.
He possessed a great love for God and others. Second of all, this centurion, he possessed an active and vibrant faith. He possessed an active and vibrant faith. Thirdly, this centurion, he possessed a humble spirit. He possessed a humble spirit. And then finally, he possessed great confidence and certainty in Jesus.
Amen.
Number four, he possessed a great confidence and certainty in Jesus. Did I go too fast for everybody? Luke shows us how this centurion did this, okay? And not only how he did it, but how you and I can do it too. Wow, that's something, isn't it? First of all, I want to share with you grace and peace to you all this morning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Luke tells us that Jesus had just finished preaching a series of messages. You know, he had just went through the Beatitudes. And then he started teaching about loving your enemies. Wow, we're to love our enemies? That's a shocker. So, Billy, that means I got to love you, man.
Amen.
That means I have to even love Biden. Wow. Woo. Jesus teaches about judging others, too.
Amen.
He also taught about the fruits in people's lives, whether we have good fruits or whether we have bad fruits. And then Jesus teaches about building a solid foundation. Okay? Remember that? Where should our foundation be? That's right, the rock, right? And who is the rock? Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is that rock. The gospel tells us that Jesus started going to Capernaum. And in a sense, this was his ministry headquarters. When he and his disciples were not traveling around Palestine, they would come back here to rest, right? And refresh. You know, it's easy to understand why Jesus picked Capernaum. With all his travels and commerce, Jesus had the perfect place to continually meet people and share of the good word, okay? It's a natural location to preach the message of God's love and salvation. Just like, you know what, there's places here at Cadet, there's places here at Potosi, there's places all over that, man, it's a natural place to meet people, right?
Amen.
Furthermore, Capernaum was where Matthew, James, John, Peter, and Andrew's family lived. So, headquartering there enabled some of his disciples time to rest and, as I shared before, recoup. Jesus' hometown of Nazareth was only a couple of days away. This is kind of background here. So he could leave his disciples with their families and go and visit Mary and his brothers and sisters. But you know, verse 1 here tells us this. Verse 1 tells us this. Flip over to verse 1. And when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. Jesus was getting back into town. He was greeted by some local Jewish leaders there, some elders. That's in verse 2. There a centurion servant whom his masters highly valued was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. Although the centurion wasn't a Jew, these elders included him as one of their best and dearest friends. And you know, that's pretty cool, isn't it? To be a friend of the Jews. Mm-hmm. You know, Jews have been looked down upon a lot, right? But you know, who are God's people?
Jewish people.
And doesn't the Bible say somewhere, and I know I get old, but I know I forget things, so you have to help me. And if we reach out to the Jews, who are we actually reaching out to? God, right?
Man.
So that's what the centurion did. Although, as I said, he wasn't a Jew, the Jews considered him a real friend. And as Luke shares, this centurion was able to do something that no one else had done at that time. And you know what it was? Come on, help me out here. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says what? And when Jesus heard this, he was what? Amazed. Or, at one translation says, marveled. He was astonished. He was probably saying, whoa, you know. And to shock Jesus had to mean a lot, right?
Amen. Amen.
Jesus marveled at this man's depth of his love, his faith, his humility, and his certainty. Usually it was Jesus who did all the surprising, right? You know, all the miracles that he did, you know. And, you know, remember when he had the disciples catch a fish and he needed some tax money? And what did he do? He reached in and grabbed some money. Boy, I wish I could do that. Especially now, it'd be a lot helpful to fill my tank up, right? The last time I put money in my convertible, or put gas in my convertible, yeah, I put money in it too. It was $50. I about died. I said, wow, this is crazy. So we see that. But there were some qualities that this soldier possessed that made Jesus stop and declare, I have not found such great faith, no, not in Israel. There was something about this man that caused the Holy Spirit to instruct Luke to include this story in his writings. Which means, of course, that there were some things that the Holy Spirit wanted you and I to read about and to understand.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just an old dusty book that just happened to be written down, right? This is God's holy word. Amen?
That's right.
Come on, I want an amen.
That's right.
All right. Way to go, church. Amen. Now that we're all woke up. So. Which means, of course, as I said, we need to understand that. That these things were written down for your edification and for my edification.
Amen.
To learn and to apply. Right?
Yes, Lord.
Let us look at some of these things this morning. As an aside, did you know that every miracle, there is a parable? And every parable, there is a miracle? Did you know that? Does anybody know what a parable is? If Diane was here, she'd go, pick me, you know? Does anybody know what a parable is? What is a parable? Oh, you read my notes, didn't you? So So that was written down for our edification. Number one, the first thing we see is this man had a great big heart. A great big heart. And when Jesus had finished saying this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There was a centurion servant who the master valued highly and was sick and about to die. You know, Scripture tells us in John 13:35 that we should have a big heart, shouldn't we, as Christians? And we should be known for that, right? John tells us this: by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you what? Love one another.
Amen.
And doesn't it say in Antioch they were first known as Christians because of what? Do I hear an old me? Unfortunately, I've seen a lot of fighting, feuding, fussing Baptists. And you know what? What kind of a testimony is that to the world? A very bad one, isn't it? But you know what? We need to love. And I'm not saying a slurpy, sloppy kind of love. Oh, a gushy kind of love. No, I mean a real, true love. Bible tells us also in John 3:16, for God what?
Love.
So love, period. Man, you could do a whole series of messages just on that. God love. And we as his, in a sense, representatives, we ought to show that love. Amen?
Amen.
That's what this centurion did. This centurion possessed a great big heart for those that lived in his house and for the Jewish people living around him. Luke tells us that he was a professional soldier and he held the rank of a centurion. That means that he was either one of the main leaders of the local police force or he was part of Herod's mercenary army and made sure that everyone was there to keep. You know, kind of like what I was. And you see this thought of a little bow-legged. Chair, I think we're about to get started. The boys say that he's drinking, you know, in a uniform. And it's a police officer. I was going to just pack a tree. But you know what? I had done for so long. But I'm sure this centurion had to keep the peace. Capernaum was a perfect environment for smugglers, thieves, and con artists. Boy, sounds like St. Louis, doesn't it? That is why history tells us that there was a major police force and military presence in Capernaum. And that's why the centurion was there. To keep the peace. Now let's look at verse 2. There was this centurion servant whom he valued highly and was sick and about to die. We find that one of the centurion's slaves was on the verge of death. If something didn't happen soon and very soon, guess what? There'll be a funeral service, right? It is here in this story that Luke wants us to pause and consider. He wants us to understand that this man, this centurion, was so concerned about this young man that he asked the Jewish leaders to see if Jesus would come and heal.
Amen.
And you know, that was extraordinary back then.
Yes.
You know, usually, if you treated a slave was just what? A piece of property, right? Oh, well, if he died, big deal. I'll just replace him, right? But guess what? That's not how this centurion treated this slave. Slaves were not even considered human beings. They were just tools to be used as one would use a sword or a piece of furniture or sandals. Their only value was in what could be gained or what pleasure they could bring to their owners. But you know what? This was a special servant, wasn't it? A very special servant. No doubt that this centurion had seen a great many people die. More than likely, he had probably killed some himself, right? So he was used to seeing death. But you know what? His heart went out for his servant. He wasn't calloused. And you know, it's very easy to get calloused on the street. You know that? Mm-hmm. I've seen even some preachers do that. We're here to serve, right? And deacons, I'm not going to leave you guys out either.
Amen.
I've seen deacons that think that their job is to run the pastor or to run the church. But you know what? You guys are servants too.
Amen.
Later there'll be a stoning, and I'm sure Billy will have the rocks there. But it was not this way with this centurion. He wasn't hard-hearted. He wasn't cold-hearted. He cared and he loved this servant. I'm sure the moment that Jesus heard that this centurion wanted him to come and heal his servant, he was impressed. He said, wow. He took notice. Jesus is always impressed when you and I reach out and love people that the rest of the world looks down and considers unworthy. You know that? Because what does the scripture say? The scripture say, you know, if you lend it to someone, you will really lend it.
Jesus.
You know, remember when they said, Lord, when did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry? When did you see, you know, we didn't see this. He said, if you've done this to what? The least of these? You've done it to me.
Amen.
So he's always impressed. Jesus never throws, catch this, Jesus never throws anyone away.
Amen.
If you're here today and you think you're useless, you think you're hopeless, you think that the world is and how could God use someone like me? But you know what? God will never throw you away.
Amen.
If you throw yourself away, it's because you did it. You know, God prepared hell for who?
Devil and his angels.
And his angels. God never wanted you to go to hell.
Amen.
If you go to hell, you know who's going to send you there? That's who's going to send you to hell.
Amen.
You're going to go there yourself. Because that's not where God wants you to go.
Praise the Lord.
For God so loved the world that he gave what? That whosoever should what?
Believe in him.
Should what?
Not perish.
But what?
Have.
Amen. That's why he came. That's why he went on the cross. For you and me, folks.
Amen.
But unfortunately, there's some people that won't accept it. But the centurion's love. You know, and that's good news for you and I today, isn't it? Mark 12, 30, 31 says this, that we are to love the Lord your God, what? With all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might, and with all your strength. I think I read somewhere in Deuteronomy it said something like this, right? I think I read that. But the second is what? Love who? Because if you don't love yourself, you're slapping God in the face. Now, I'm not saying a prideful, oh, I just love myself. Oh, I'm just the greatest thing ever. No, that's not what I'm saying. We are to love our neighbors as we would love ourselves. And there is no commandment greater than these. Isn't that what Jesus said? Now that we've got the first thing down, about his love. Now we're going to look at number two. The second thing we see is this man's active faith. Let me read verses 3-5. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him and asked him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. He had an active faith. Not just a passive faith, but an active faith. Hebrews 11:6 says this, and without faith, what? It's impossible to please God. How many of us here want to please God?
Amen.
All right, what's the other hand up? You want to please God? I know I do, right?
Amen.
Don't you want to please God?
I suppose.
If you don't, then there's something wrong. Because everyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Yeah.
Luke tells us that this centurion was not a Jew by birth. Neither had he been raised as a Jew. However, in his heart, he believed that Yahweh was God.
Amen.
I believe he was a Christian. I really do. It doesn't say it. He believed in the Lord God Almighty. Amen. And it wasn't just a head knowledge, it was a heart knowledge, amen?
Amen.
You know, we don't know his nationality. Whether he was a Roman, a Syrian, or perhaps even a native Macedonian. All we know that he was not born into a Jewish home. We see that this man's faith touched both his heart and his activity, and even his pocketbook.
Amen.
You know, have you ever heard of we need to have an active faith. In many ways, this centurion was like another centurion we know, Cornelius, that we find in chapter 10. Now, have you looked it up yourself? Verses 24-43. Remember that it was that centurion that the Lord poured out his Holy Spirit. Both of these men possessed a deep faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So see, God can even use police. God can even use military, amen? God can use whoever he wants to, amen?
Amen.
Remember, it was this centurion that was right there at next to Jesus when he was on the cross.
Yeah.
You ever seen the movie The Greatest Story Ever Told? You ever seen that movie? John Wayne played that centurion. And you know what he said? He said, surely this was the Son of God. In verse 5, we read that this centurion so loved the Lord and the Jews of that area that he helped them build the local synagogue. Bible scholars tell us that either he gave a great deal of money toward the project or that he enlisted his soldiers to help build the synagogue itself. Either way, he did what he could to make sure that the Jews of that area had a place to worship the Lord, even though he himself could never attend the services. Wow, what a sacrifice. What a sacrifice. Each time Jesus and his disciples returned to their home base, it was this very synagogue that they would worship and pray. It was here that Jesus would teach and preach the good news. And a big reason this synagogue was here was because of this centurion's faith and generosity. Wow, wow, wow. Now thirdly, let's look at verses 6 and 7. Verses 6 and 7. He was not far from the house. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to him. Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. Proverbs 22:4 tells us, you know, this centurion had a lot of humility, didn't he? It wasn't like some of our fake politicians. I'm the most humble person you've ever met. You know, you ever seen some of those phony balonies? I have. But humility is real, isn't it?
Amen.
Proverbs tells us this. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. If you aren't impressed by the centurion, after reading these verses, you know, it's even more amazing. Here's a man who commanded a garrison, which was anywhere from 80 to 100 men. And they were trained, hardened soldiers. This centurion was a wealthy man, and he had a great reputation with both the Jews and the Gentiles. Yet when it came to Jesus coming to his home, he sent another delegation to tell Jesus that he wasn't even worthy. To do the same.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we? His humility had been shocking to those who heard this message. Remember, no respecting Jew would have even gone into this house. Every Jew believed that they are superior to the Gentiles, regardless of their rank, regardless of their stature. But because of all that centurion had done for them, the Jewish elders had given Jesus permission to go to their. Why? Because they would be
completely. Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? The centurion was their Gentile. You know what? We have to keep that.
Amen.
We're all Gentiles, right? I don't think there's any Jews. Is there any Jews? You know, but this centurion was not arrogant, was he? He didn't demand anything. He knows God doesn't owe him anything. And you know what? God doesn't owe you a thing.
Amen.
You know, the only thing he owes you is what? Death and hell. Amen? I don't know about you. I've seen commercials that say, I only want to get what I deserve. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Amen.
Because if you got what you actually deserved, it would be death and hell, folks.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's what I want.
Amen.
That's exactly what I want. Instead, he believes that he and his household were so unworthy that he was not even allowed Jesus to see his face. Again, this sent shockwaves into the community. Here was a man, the centurion, that had power and high ranking, who feels that he should bow down
Amen.
To Jesus.
Amen.
And friend,
yes.
The Bible surely says that at the name of Jesus, every Amen. Knee will bow and Amen. Every tongue will confess what?
Jesus.
Amen. And if you don't do it now,
Amen.
Kind of reminds me, you know, there was an old, I'm really dating myself here. There was an old GM commercial where the guy brings his car in to get the oil changed. He opens the top lid, you know, to drain the oil, nothing falls out. And they said, you either pay me now to get the oil changed, pay me later. And folks, you can either have God pay now for your sins,
Amen.
Or you'll pay for more.
That's right.
Here was a man that had this high ranking who bowed down to Jesus. St. Augustine said many years later that it was pride that changed angels to devils, and it was humility that made men as angels. Richard Rohr, in his book Radical Grace, reminds us that humility and human comes from the same Latin word, humus, which means dirt. You know, y'all a bunch of dirt. Did you know that?
Amen. Amen.
No matter how well you clean, y'all dirt. Unless you're like Sharon, she's just a small dirt, right? I love Sharon. But you know what? A human being is someone that's taken out of the dirt, right?
Amen.
We're made from the dirt, aren't we? A humble person is one who recognizes that. And even rejoices in
Praise the Lord.
This centurion, as I said, could have became arrogant. He could have been demanding and condescending. He could have looked upon Jesus with disgust. But that is not what we find here. We find a man of deep humility. We find a man who understands his place in the presence of Jesus. And friends, right. Oh, that makes me feel so bad. Well, if you know Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you better get used to it. You and I are often tempted to show our arrogance, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We are all tempted to show that we know what we are doing and we know what we need. We can even believe that we are doing something great for God when we decide to come to church. When we sing, when we give, when we believe. And you know what? We pat ourselves on the back. God, I did my godly thing. God bless you, God. But you know, I remember too that when you worship God, one was a Pharisee and the other was a Republican. Say, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. I give twice of all that I possess. I'm even better than this poor publican over here. I'm the greatest thing you've ever seen, God. Right? And some of us could be that way. But remember what happened?
Amen.
You know, we need to be careful. We need to understand that we are in the presence of the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
We need to understand that God is allowing us to be in His presence. Amen. God could destroy us or reject us, but out of His love, He invites us into His house. He welcomes us here each time our doors are open. We should be grateful that God has reached out to us.
Amen. Amen.
We should be grateful that He has given us a breath. You know, as I shared before, I'm a little afraid.
Amen.
And so are you.
Right.
How many of us here got up this morning?
Amen.
How many of us here drove to get to this church?
Amen.
Had to take your pulse, okay? You got a heartbeat, right?
Yeah.
Heartbeat, then you ought to thank God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Now finally, I'm going to try to close on this. We see this man's amazing certainty. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, or depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Amen?
Amen.
This man had a certainty. And you know what? If you're here today and you know Christ is your Lord and Savior, you too have that same certainty. Amen?
Amen.
This centurion is certain of Jesus' willingness to and power to heal his dying slave. Of all the characteristics this man possessed, the one that touches my heart the most. I'm amazed at his love. I'm amazed at his faith. I'm amazed at his humility. But to think that this miracle happened and that neither this man nor his servant were ever touched by all he did was.
Amen.
This centurion had confidence and the certainty that Jesus didn't need to come into his house to see it. So what can we learn? What can we learn? The centurion's amazing faith. He knew with all the certainty in his heart that Jesus could and would heal long before it became a reality. He shows us something very important. He shows us how true love will cause us to do and act in ways that others will find amazing. He shows us what true faith is. True faith is more than just words. It is words backed up by action.
Amen.
The scripture says, faith without works is what? Dead. It also shows how to be truly humble. How to be humble before the Lord God Almighty. He shows us the importance of both intercessory prayer for others and having a certainty that God has heard our prayers and will answer them. As we close this morning, I would like to invite anyone here today who would like to calm down and exact these, be like these Jewish leaders. This centurion and his friends did for this young man. I would like to invite anyone to calm down and pray for someone who has a great need in their life. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have a need in your life. Maybe you know of somebody else that needs Jesus. You need to come to this altar and pray for them. Perhaps there's someone you know that needs a physical or emotional healing. You know, my God is still in the healing business. Amen?
Amen.
He's still the great physician. Yes. Perhaps there's someone you know that needs a comfort and peace that can only be gotten by the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you know someone who has been drifting away from the Lord and in need of the Holy Spirit and need a revival in their hearts. So as we go into this invitation, what's our hymn of invitation? Have thine own way, Lord, would you come? Everyone stand as we go into this time of invitation.